Stand, shall we? Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. Lord, the world is literally exploding around us. We see violence on our streets. We see volcanic eruption in New Zealand. And Father, we know that our world has fallen. But Lord, out of all of that, you came, you sent your Son Jesus, born in a manger, to bring us hope, to bring us help, and to bring us a Savior. Lord, in our weak we stop. And now we do the most important thing, Father. We worship you and speak to you. We open your word and you speak to us. And then shortly, Lord, we pray. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity, because prior to us knowing you, we would be like everybody else and just wasting our time doing things that were rust, loving things that can be stolen and perish. Lord, you've given us eternal life. Bless each and every one gathered here tonight, Lord, and help us, though there be few, Lord. Your word says that two or more are gathered in your name, that you are in the presence, Lord. And so tonight, with you, Father, here, it is an exciting place to be. Bless this time now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Please take a seat. Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I'm speaking Christmas Eve on chaos of Christmas. Chaos of the first Christmas, actually. Why do we have what's called Christmas? Why did Jesus Christ come to give us Christmas? Well, Jesus is the person of Christmas. We've done one school thus far. We've got three more to go as we're giving guitars away this year out to the schools. And it's interesting, one of the students from Comet Bay is now a rookie at the Fremantle Football Club, and he remembers the church that gave the surfboards away. But I was looking in the library at Comet Bay College in the religious section while I waited. It's not very big, it's about so big. Books. Not a Bible to be found. And then I looked around for Christmas decorations, and I thought, there's none hanging up in here. And I looked on the desk, and thankfully there were, in amongst some of the symbols, there were two angels. So I thought, oh, that's nearly there. Let's read our text, 1 John 1, 4. John, the Apostle John writes, and this is one of the most powerful books in the Bible. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Then verse 4. These things we write to you, that your joy may be full. One of the reasons why John was written tells you. The reason we have Christmas, biblically, the reason Jesus came was to bring us eternal life, which I'm going to explain. Christmas seems to be a time to get busy to go shopping. Parking spaces, we've received a letter from the local council, which we'll discuss with our board. They want to put a 2-hour limit on parking all around here, which means we'll either have to police our car park or fence our property, which is going to cost us a large amount of money. But people decorate the house inside and outside. Christmas lights, rows and rows, with half that don't work, which you find out only after you've spent all day on the roof carefully putting them in place. You've got to wait till dark, and you find out it doesn't work. All the food, the mountains of food, all experience at Christmas, we think, do we have enough food? Surely 14 chickens, 24 ducks, and 3 legs of ham will feed the 5 of us. Plus everyone's bringing a plate. May we tonight, with God's help, clearly know biblically and understand as to why and what the true meaning of Christmas is. It's a good question. Do you know what the meaning of Christmas is? We should be able to go, what is it? We need to give biblical answers. We need to have knowledge of the Word of God. It's the coming of Jesus to give us eternal life. That's your answer. So if someone says, what is it about Christmas? Yeah, well, it's actually the coming of Jesus Christ to give us eternal life. This is why Jesus came, the Bible tells us. But there is a spirit active in the world today that is seeking to eliminate Jesus Christ out of Christmas. We see this more and more in our day, don't we? The disallowing of nativity scenes, the replacing of Christmas carols with no meaning Christmassy song. And you know, we go to school events and all they do is sing ho, 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 he, he, he. Nothing about Jesus, nothing about angels, no Silent Night, nothing, no Noel. One time when I worked at the education department for a number of years in the main office, there was a shunning of sending out Christmas cards. They were banned for fear of offending someone. Can't say Merry Christmas anymore. Just say Happy Holiday. Happy Holiday. Drop dead. Don't tell me say Happy Holiday. That's terrible. I shouldn't say drop dead either, but Happy Holiday? It's actually Holo-day if you're going to go that way. I was saying to Helen the other day, well, if people don't like Christmas, don't have it. Keep working. Don't take the time off. Don't get the presents. Don't go to the functions. Do what you should be doing every other day. This is all to take Christ out of Christmas and the true meaning of why Jesus came. Christmas is about Jesus Christ. In verse 2, it says that he was manifested. That's a key word. And then it says eternal life. The reason the life was manifested, Jesus Christ was manifested and was manifested to us. Why do we have Christmas? Jesus came to bring us eternal life. Reason number one. In John 10:10, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, but not just that, and that they may have it more abundantly, more than just life. So the question is, what do we mean when we say eternal life? Good biblical knowledge to know. What does that really mean, eternal life? Because if I was to read the Bible, I would see that the wicked live on and on as well. For every human being will live eternally. Some will go to heaven, and some will be eternally in the lake of fire in a place called hell. Eternal torment. Either in heaven or in a place of judgment, eternally separated from God. So there's a greater understanding of what does eternal life actually mean. This is what it means. Biblically, the eternal life that Jesus came to give us, it's the life of God in the soul of man. Because we're dead without him, aren't we? We're the walking dead. That's why we have to become born again. It's a new sphere of life. It's the life of God born in the soul of man. John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that you may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's what eternal life is. Eternal life is knowing God. and his son Jesus Christ. It is not something we earn by good works or deserve because I'm a good fellow. Maybe you're thinking tonight, yes, but John, the Apostle John, he had an advantage. He lived when Jesus walked on the earth. He knew Jesus personally. But I'm born 20 centuries too late. I used to think that. That's actually a poor, shallow understanding of the Bible. Listen carefully, for that thinking is off-center. It was not the apostles' physical nearness to Jesus Christ that made them what they were. It was their spiritual nearness. Born again. They had committed their life to Christ as their Savior and their Lord, and the Holy Spirit then dwelt within them. Jesus Christ was real and exciting to John and the other disciples because they had experienced eternal life. They changed. We can only experience this eternal life, this real life, only after we have believed the gospel, the good news. After we have put our trust in Jesus and become born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. Some six times in John's little letter, and the Italians call it little Giovanni, one John, small John, some six times in John's letter, he uses the term born of God. It's interesting that John is the one who writes John 3 in John chapter 3 about the visiting of Nicodemus. Born of God, six times. 1 John 3:9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. 1 John 5:1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. 1 John 5:18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Now, some of you go, well, you just read twice, doesn't sin. I sin. No. The context there is that you have stopped living the practice of living in sin. We sin by failing God, by slipping up, making mistakes. We stumble. But that context there is someone who is born of God no longer lives how they used to live, practicing every day their sin. There's a change. Christmas is about God giving us his Son and he giving us eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So what is the source of eternal life? I want to give you four simple points tonight, should time permit, in 1 John. What is the source of this eternal life? Verse 1, read it again. That which was from the beginning. There are three places in the Bible that are important in relation to beginnings. One, the first is in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's the beginning of creation. Two, another important beginning is John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Speaking of Jesus always existing and being with the Father. The eternal Word, the personal Word, the divine Word, all together. The inference here is that Jesus Christ is eternal. If the kids ask you, you know, where does God come from? You know, when did he start? Your biblical answer is God didn't have a beginning. He has always been. Answer your kids according to the Bible. Don't make up a story. One of the good things to do is, I don't know, but God's always been. Don't try and make stuff up. Chuck Smith used to teach us. He says, where the Bible is silent, you be silent. Don't put a, well, maybe he come from, because that's how the cults operate. So the inference is that Jesus Christ is eternal and that he was before there was the first Christmas. He didn't just appear and become the babe born in a manger. He was eternal. Philippians tells us what happened prior to his birth. Back in 1 John, John tells us that they saw him, heard him, touched him. This one who has always been. We touched the eternal God. We saw him. We heard him. When Mary held that baby Jesus for the very first time, she saw the face of God. The third important beginning is in our text tonight. That which was from the beginning, 1 John 1:1. We need to know that at Christmas time, Jesus did not begin his existence. Teach your children that. At Bethlehem, with him becoming a man. He is eternal. He has always been and always will be. God put on the body of a man. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One of the attributes of God is that he is eternal. Who made God? Where does he come from? God is infinite. We cannot understand or explain. Isn't that good? Because we're not on the level of God. That means he's just beyond. He just knows everything. It's just awesome. God has always existed. There was never a time when God was not. The babe born in Bethlehem, Jesus, is the eternal God who came into the world. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the prophet Micah said, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, little one, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel." Then it says this of him, "whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." No beginning, no end. Colossians 1:17, speaking of Jesus, born in a manger. "And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." John 8:58, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." They went, "You're not, how old are you?" 1 John 5:20, have a look there. 1 John 5, verse 20. "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God." Notice the words following. "And eternal life." There are those that say the Bible never refers to Jesus Christ as God. Not true. There are many places where the deity of Jesus Christ is affirmed in the Scriptures. Back in chapter 1, verse 1, notice John refers to Jesus as the Word of Life. In John's Gospel, Jesus is just referred to as the Word. In the beginning was the Word. This Christmas, if you're going to have eternal life, experience eternal life, you will only find it in a person. He's the only one that can give it to you. The person of Jesus Christ. It cannot be found under a tree, in a church, in a package, in a book. It's only by you having a relationship with Jesus Christ and becoming born again. Secondly, we see the term, verse 2, "the life was manifested. And we have seen and bear witness," verse 2 says, "and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father," speaking of Jesus, "and was manifested or revealed to us." Twice John uses the word manifested in verse 2. The word conveys the subject of what we call the incarnation. And you need to know what that means. To be incarnate means to be made flesh. God made flesh. Christmas is God becoming a man. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, Paul says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. The word of life became humanity. I think it was Spurgeon who says, the word was born in a manger that couldn't speak a word. The word became flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt amongst us. That word dwelt is he pitched his tent among us. I did a funeral today, and always at the end of the funeral read Revelation 21, new heaven and new earth. And it says that God will dwell amongst his people. They shall be his God and they shall be his people. That means he shall be their God and they shall be his people. He pitched his tent among us. That's what Bethlehem is. This is what God did. He says, I'm going to come and live here. The reason John wrote these words, because there was a false teaching at that time called Gnosticism. This so-called superior knowledge. One branch, it's interesting that the Jehovah's Witnesses have gone down that path, but one branch of this was called a docetist. That is, Jesus just appeared to be a man. The miracle of Christmas, and I want you to get this right too. I often hear Christians talking about, oh, you know, the miracle of the virgin birth and everything like that. Hang on. Listen to what you just said. The miracle of Christmas was not Jesus' birth. Mary had a child just like every other woman. Same way that every other woman had a child. But the miracle of Christmas was Christ, or the conception that occurred in a virgin, a woman who had not been with a man. There's the miracle. The conception in a virgin called Mary, no father. Jesus was manifested through the incarnation. The blood of Joseph didn't pump through Jesus' veins. The Word became flesh. So the blessing of Christmas. Christmas is God coming down and becoming a man. Baby hands. All of a sudden, the Bible says in Isaiah, God's hands span, that's between forefinger and the main big finger and thumb. Hands spans the universe. Yet, God's hands became baby hands. Baby feet were God's feet, yet the world is his footstool. Notice what John says in verse 1. We heard him. We saw him. We looked upon him. Our hands have handled. John is emphasizing greatly, so we do not miss his point. We saw, he said. We heard. We looked upon. We touched God, and he was Jesus Christ. When Jesus spoke, what did they say of Jesus? No one ever spoke like this man. You know why? Because this was the voice of God. Philip said, Jesus, show us what the Father looks like. Philip, have I been so long with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We can experience Jesus Christ this Christmas in the same way as the apostles did. And you know how you experience it? By reading the Word of God, and the Spirit of God fires up within you as the Word of God loads the bread of life into you. Thirdly, in verse 3 to 4, we have the proclamation of eternal life. John says, we declare we unto you, and these things we write to you. How can we enjoy the Christ of Christmas whilst others are starving to hear the good news of Jesus Christ? This is what John is saying, verse 3. He says, you can have fellowship just like us. He's the evangelist. You can know Jesus just like I know Jesus. We can have fellowship. Koinonia, it means sharing in common. Fellowship with us. Christmas magnifies loneliness. It magnifies loneliness for many because they have no fellowship. We have fellowship with the family of God. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Something happens because you are here this Wednesday and you're fellowshipping with other believers. There's something unique that God does when you do that by His Holy Spirit. It's interesting that statistically, the church attendance drops off during the Christmas season. Why? It's ironic. Because people get so busy with Christmas. They do not have time to come to church and worship Christ. They get too busy with Christmas stuff. And we forget Christ. In every human being's existence, their life, there is built a need for fellowship. That's why before Christ came into our lives, we were all lonely. I don't care whether you're married, you had a happy marriage, a large family. There's something in you missing. It's the fellowship with God. It's the intimacy with your Savior. There was a man who went down to the wharf. He was going on a cruise, quite a wealthy man. Everyone was throwing streamers. So he went to a little boy and he said, son, when I go up on the ship, hey, I'm going to give you some money. What for? Said the little boy. I just want you to wave to me because I have no one to wave goodbye to. Jesus came into the world and gave us the family of God. The second area of fellowship is with our Heavenly Father. Every prayer I read out today at the funeral, I didn't say, my God, I didn't say. Every prayer I pray, I always start with Heavenly Father because we're taught. He's my Heavenly Father. He's not some God in the distance. He's not someone that I'm back because when Jesus rose from the dead and the veil was torn in two, now I come boldly into the presence of God because He's my Heavenly Father. When that door is open and I'm studying just before the Sunday morning, don't like to be disturbed, but if a grandchild comes in, what's that for? You're going to eat lollies here? Everything stops. That's what God the Father is to me. And thirdly, our fellowship is with His Son, Jesus Christ. Every time I read about Jesus being beaten, I'm close with Him. I sense the pain, the agony, but I sense His love. His strength. You see, fellowship, spiritual, real fellowship with God and God's people. That's what John says. I want you to have what I have. And finally, Jesus came at Christmas so that we might have joy. 1 John 1:4, these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Can't be sour at Christmas. Jesus came to bring eternal life. And the result of eternal life is fullness of joy. What did the angel say the first Christmas Eve? And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you bad news. This little kid's going to be born in a manger. It's terrible." He says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Luke 2:11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a politician, a therapist, a savior, who is Christ the Lord." No, we all need a savior. This is what Christmas is. God sending his son to save us from our sins. That's what Christmas is. I love Christmas. It's wonderful. And the result is great joy. Joy to the world. Why? The Lord has come. See the songs of Christmas in the Bible. Read them that Mary sang, that Elizabeth sang. Let us not lose the great joy of Christmas. Jesus came to give us eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. Eternal life is only found in Jesus. Eternal life is only received through believing. We can know that we have eternal life, John tells us. Eternal life is a gift from God. You cannot earn it, pay for it. How would you be if you had to pay for a gift that someone gave to you? Got you a great gift, Mercedes-Benz. By the way, you've got to go down to 112,000. Merry Christmas. You tonight have an eternal existence. And it's found only in Jesus Christ. And no matter what happens around us at Christmas, our homes, our marriages, our families need the Word of God spoken over and over. We need to not fall and become dribbling idiots because we hear dribble when people should be hearing the good news of the Word, because the Word of God is true. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes into the very soul and deepest parts of our being. Our children need to hear it when they open the presents. When we celebrate Christmas Eve together as a family, we should be sharing the realities. When someone says, "Well, what's Christmas all about?" We need to explain it. We need to say this. It's to give us eternal life. I have it. What about you? This is what John was excited about. This is what drove the apostles out to from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the world. And it's landed here in Australia. How far is Australia from Jerusalem? It's the furthest place you can go. Yet tonight, John says, we got it. We have it. Babe born in Bethlehem. Some of you have been to Bethlehem. He impacted our lives here today. He's given us eternal life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for Christ coming. God putting on the body of a man. We rejoice in that. Help us, Lord, to always be joyful and remember the gift of eternal life that each and every one of us has. These things we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay.